This series to me really kind of sums up something that has just been, I deal with in my life. I like everybody else, we tend to get so busy. We tend to have so much activity. We tend to go through the same things. You get with the same family members. You have this, like in our family, we have bingo every year. That's like the highlight, and we all bring these gifts, and then we all steal them from each other, and we play this bingo, and sometimes there's a lot of chaos that goes on, and it's a lot of fun. We have fun with the family, but what I've always experienced in my life, and I don't know, maybe you're better than me and maybe you're a lot different. I always look back at Christmas and feel like I got shortchanged. I missed something significant. Yeah, I got to experience a holiday, but the holiday never became a holy day. In fact, that's what we talked about last week. We talked about how easy it is for the holiday is about time with family. A holy day is an experience with God. It's an encounter with God. So while weak, there's nothing wrong with a holiday. Holidays are great, and you're going to have a great, but sometimes what we can do is we can experience something good, like a holiday, and miss something great, like a holy day. And we get shortchanged. In this series, what we've looked at is we've said, you know what? What was it like the very first Christmas Eve? What was it like in the cultures of this world? How did they miss Christ? Because listen, with the activities going on, we know that you probably won't miss the presents and you won't miss the party, but you could miss the purpose of Christmas and you could miss the person of Christmas. And so the first fill-in, if you want to write it down, is we don't want to miss what really matters this Christmas. We don't. We can't afford to. We can't afford to miss what really matters. Because in Rome, 2,000 years ago, they were distracted. They had a king. They didn't need a new one. Jesus was born as king of the Jews. They were happy with their king. They didn't need another one. So they weren't even looking for one. The culture in Jerusalem, they've been waiting for thousands of years for this Messiah to show up. And you know what? They just started losing hope. So they were hopeless. And Jerusalem was kind of a hopeless culture. Last week we talked about the activity and the busyness of Bethlehem because it was this small town like Centerville, you know. And Centerville is what we call welcome to come again because it's so small. You're just kind of there and you're out. And this is what Bethlehem was like. And there's so much activity there that it was so busy that people missed what was actually happening on that day. I mean, we don't want to miss, some 2,000 years later, we don't want to miss this event on Christmas. We talked about last week how Advent is about celebrating the coming of Christ in his birth, but it's also about celebrating the return of Christ in his second coming. So these cultures, they've been waiting for centuries for Jesus to come, and a lot of them had lost hope, and a lot of them were distracted, and some were caught up in busyness of life, and many of them missed the Christ of Christmas. And so that danger exists for us as well. And here's some lessons that we can learn from these cultures that we've got to really get, or we'll just become like them. This will become another Christmas just like every other Christmas. You'll look back and go, man, I missed the holy day. I experienced the holiday, but I missed the holy day. And so lessons we can learn is this. God always shows up at an appointed time. God always shows up at an appointed time. We tend to think that God only shows up when he's good and ready to, when he gets around to it, when he finds time. Scripture tells us that God shows up at a time that he has appointed beforehand. In fact, when Jesus was born, it says, but when the right time came, not just any time, when the right time came, the time that God decided on, he sent his son. It wasn't just any time. It was an appointed time. And then when you think about, okay, then there's the coming of Christ, and Jesus says this about his own coming. He says, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows the time of his coming. That means that it's an appointed time. That's important that's a lesson we've got to get. When God shows up, it's an appointed time. So we've got to be ready, not hopeless. This also reminds us, I think, of something really important that we've got to know. I don't know about the circumstances of your life that seem hopeless or whatever's going on. I can tell you this. Your circumstances are unbearable. God already has a time that he has set to show up in your circumstances. Don't lose hope. God always has an appointed time to show up. So right now, whatever it is that you're facing, you think God's not even aware. No, God's aware, and he has an appointed time. And most of the time, what happens is we lose hope way before God shows up. Here's another lesson you can learn. If God says something's going to happen, you can bank on it. If God says it's going to happen, you better bank on it. It's going to happen. That's an important lesson. When God makes a promise, It'll happen. Matthew 1, it says, so the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, a virgin will have a baby boy, and he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God said long ago this was going to happen, and it happened for sure. So we also can't forget, Jesus says this, I go to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you can be with me where I am. If Jesus said it, it's going to happen. You can bank on it. Don't get caught hopeless, distracted, or busy. God's promises are not empty words. Maybe you kind of grow up with your parents giving you empty promises like, hey, we're going to go fishing, or yeah, we're going to take you to Disneyland, and they never followed through. So they're just kind of empty words, empty promises. And the truth is that God's words are not empty promises. They actually come to fruition. Don't get frustrated. Expect that it's going to happen. If we don't learn this lesson, we not only miss Christmas, we're going to miss his return as well. So the reason that both of these are important is God doesn't want us caught up or overwhelmed with the chaos of life. God wants us to experience peace, not just like peace, but deep peace. It's peace that comes from our personal connection with God. That is what he wants us to experience. Not just the idea of peace, but a peace that happens because of our connection, our personal connection with God. The reason that's important is because a lot of times we say, oh, you know what? I want Dave to pray for me because Dave has a good connection with God. Dave says that this is going to happen. God wants you to experience this peace in your heart, not to live vicariously through somebody else, but to experience that peace for yourself. It's a peace that he produces in our lives. And you know the scripture out of Galatians 5, but it says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. In the culture of chaos, in the culture of conflict, God is actually at work in those times of tension, creating peace within you. That's what he's working on. That's what he's doing. You know what? Every couple has tension. Every couple has fights, right? Last night was a tough one for Cynthia and I because I was an idiot. And you know what? I told her, it was one of those opportunities, those lessons that I told her, I said, Cynthia, I'm wrong. This is exactly what I'm talking about tomorrow, and I need to listen to myself. I need to listen because in the chaos of what's going on, I kind of got worked up about something, and there was no peace. There was nothing. What happens is we need to be reminded that God loves us, that he cares about us, that he wants the best for us, that God has a plan. We don't have to take matters into our own hands. We don't have to worry. We don't have to have anxiety about stuff. No matter where you look in life, it's not just outside in the world. It's in the church too. No matter where you look, it seems that people don't have peace. People are stressed out. They're easily offended. They're angry at each other. We can't even get along. Everything is so fragile that even the political differences, we can't even respect political differences because, you know, it offends us. We can't sing a song called Baby, It's Cold Outside because we're offended. I don't get that, but you know what? We're just easily offended, and it's almost as if we're looking for opportunities to release the anxiety, to release the frustration, to release the offensiveness, and there's no peace inside. Look at it, in the culture of chaos, where you can experience peace, and we know this from the Christmas story, and you've heard it before, but listen with new ears. The angel appears to the shepherds with this message from God, and we looked at that last week, but it said, suddenly the angel was joined with this vast host of others, at the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom God is pleased. That God is proclaiming this announcement that peace is now given to everyone that God is pleased with. Even in the Old Testament, hundreds of years earlier, peace is identified with this baby Jesus. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, it says that he will be their peace. Those people that belong to God will experience peace because of this child, Jesus. The word peace is mentioned 400 times in Scripture. It generally refers to harmony, but in this situation, it's much deeper than just harmony. It's about wholeness. It's about God's favor resting on people. And out of this wholeness, it creates a calm, restful state deep within us. It's this connection that we have with God that brings rest and calm in the place of chaos in our lives. So no matter what treaties the nations of this world agree upon, and they are constantly working at new treaties, there will never be real peace in this world. No matter what laws they try to legislate, they can't create real peace because real peace doesn't happen outside of Jesus. It doesn't. I mean, we would love for it to. In fact, the world works really hard and they can create a resemblance of peace. They can work really hard and legislate things that look peaceful. But the problem is it never satisfies the tension within. Laws can shape and form and try to manipulate our actions of what is good and what is not good, but it cannot deal or satisfy with the tension that is within. And that is what Jesus came to satisfy. He came to satisfy this tension that we have inside of us and to give us this peace. In this world, it's just a fragile form of peace, and that's what John 14, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace that the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. The way our culture, the way it defines peace is the absence of something. It can be the absence of conflict or war or problems or strife, but Jesus said, and this is what we read earlier, he says, I want you to be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in this godless world. You're going to continue to experience difficulties, but take heart because I've conquered the world. The best, as we said, the best that the world can do is legislate peace and remove the obstacles of peace. But this is important for us to get. Peace is not the absence of something, it's the presence of someone. So if we don't get that, we're always going to be looking for peace somewhere. We're always going to be looking for something to create peace in our world. Can I just go off here just a little bit and just kind of give a warning? This is what happens like in marriage. We have conflict and we go, man, you know what? The best we can do is remove ourselves from the conflict to find peace. God says, I can fill you with peace. I can give you this peace that you need in the midst of your conflict. Because you know what? Marriage is not an easy thing. It doesn't matter if it's your job, it doesn't matter if it's your kids or whatever it is. Life has difficulties, but God grants peace and gives peace to us in these places. So because of Jesus, you can have real peace. But we desperately need this peace, and real peace is experienced when we surrender ourselves to Christ. Acts 10 tells us that the message of the good news, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And the idea of lordship is about surrendering ourselves to Him. He becomes in charge. Look at, if God is not in charge, there's no peace. You can't experience peace if there's no surrender. Jesus said when we surrender ourselves to what He's called us to be, to what He's called us to do, we experience peace. There's many people who've been in relationship with Christ for years, and they still have no peace. And you might say, how is that possible? Somebody has a relationship with Christ, but they still have no peace. The truth is, like I said before, you can live in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. You can come to church, it doesn't make you a Christ follower. See, we can go to church, but we don't read our Bibles, or maybe you do read your Bible, maybe you even attend connection groups. But if you're not surrendering your life to God, if you're not surrendering your attitudes, if you're not surrendering your desires to Christ, you're missing it, and there's never going to be peace. In fact, here's what surrender is. We learn it from Jesus, because this is how He expressed what surrender was. He said these two lines, not my will, but your will be done. That is what surrender is. So surrender is not just your will being done. It's about not my will. And sometimes we have to get to that place where we go, you know what? The tension is really about me and what I want. This is not about what I want. God, whatever is going on here today, whatever is going on, it's about you. You're going to take care of it. I'm going to trust you with this. Here's the great thing about surrendering to God's control, that it brings peace that we need. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. You don't have to impress, fight, or fear. When we give God control, He has the final say. God wants us to experience peace in every area of your life, but there's three types of peace that we can experience this Christmas that I really want us to look at really quickly. Three types of peace that I think is essential that God wants you to experience this year, and that is, the first one is peace with God. That means no more feeling like God is against you. Because the truth is, God created you for a relationship with Himself. But your sin and my sin prevented that relationship from ever happening. And God sends His Son on a mission with a purpose, and that mission is to die on the cross and pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. And when He died on the cross, it made relationship with God possible, because somebody had to die for the issue of sin. Somebody that was spotless, somebody that was innocent. Jesus says, I'll go and I'll die for, for them. Jesus made peace possible between us and God. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 says. God was, in Christ, making peace between the world and himself. Another scripture says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us on the cross. All we have to do is accept this gift and believe that what Jesus did on the cross, dying on the cross, actually paid the penalty for our sins. And then we may put him in charge of our lives. So here's some important questions that we need to ask ourselves. And I'm not saying flippantly, this is something you have to take seriously if you really want peace. Do you know for certain that God has forgiven you? Have you experienced that? Because if you don't know that God's forgiven you, you're not going to experience peace. Peace understands that God has looked at your sin and said, my son died for their sins, and now I accept them into my family. They're good. Do you know that God has forgiven you? Another question is, do you feel that God is pleased with you or against you? Because if you don't know that God is pleased with you, if you feel like God's against you, there's never going to be a peace that results in your life. Christmases will come and Christmases will go, and you'll miss God. You'll miss this peace. It'll be a fictitious kind of idea somewhere because you don't have peace with God. Jesus came so that you would experience peace with him. That was his reason for coming. Another type of peace that you can experience is this, peace with yourself. Not just peace with God, but peace with yourself. God wants you to have internal peace. Most of us are hardest on ourselves because the truth is nobody knows you like you. Nobody knows your flaws. Nobody knows your mistakes. Nobody knows your hang-ups. Nobody knows the real you like you. And most of us cannot forgive ourselves. God's peace, God's love for you is greater than your past mistakes. It's greater than your worst regrets. It's greater than your greatest flaws. In fact, Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. In Psalm 62, only God gives inward peace. So here's some important questions to ask. When you look in the mirror, are you at peace with that person? When you look in the mirror, I'm not talking about excuse. Okay, I'm not saying, you know what, I excuse this person. When you look in the mirror, do you love this person? Do you forgive this person for their hang-ups, for their mistakes, for their flaws? Do you look at them and go, you're such a loser? Or do you look at them and say, you know what? Because of what God has done in your life, there is great things ahead for you. God forgives you. Listen, we have to be willing to forgive ourselves. If God was willing to forgive you, then you can forgive yourself. And it begins with accepting God's forgiveness. Because here's another part of this. You can't experience what you refuse to accept. A lot of us want God's forgiveness, but we don't feel like we deserve it, so we don't accept it. You'll never be able to forgive yourself fully until you accept God's forgiveness for you. One last type of peace that we need to experience this Christmas is peace with others. You have peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others. Relational peace. In our culture of chaos, I think this is such an important issue. I really do in our culture. You know what? If there's in a culture that is so easily offended, we have to be people of peace. In fact, Scripture talks about us being peacemakers. But you'll never be a peacemaker if you've not experienced peace. It's important to have this peace. Ephesians 2 tells us this, that Christ reconciled both groups to God. Both groups refers to those that are Jews and those that are not Jews. And then he says this, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. So no longer do we have an excuse to be hostile towards one another. No longer do we have permission to be offended at each other. No longer is that an option on the table. In fact, our hostility for Christ followers has been put to death. That means, listen, let's just get real, okay? That means people that have a different political view, we can put that to death. We don't have to be a part of the conflict. We can be a part of peace. I'm not saying that's easy. I'm saying that's the work of God in our lives that we need. That means there's always that one person at the Christmas dinner that pushes your button and then wants to sit next to you, you know, and you can have peace. You can have peace. An important issue that we ought to deal with is this. You can't give what you do not possess. You cannot give peace if you have not received it. Can I just say you can't give forgiveness if you've not accepted God's forgiveness? You can't give love if you have not accepted God's love. And you cannot give peace. You'll never be a peacemaker if you've not accepted peace. Because here's the truth. Our peace with God is reflected in the peace that we have with each other. I told you last week about our little episode, you know, that every time we go on a trip down to L.A., my wife started pretending like she has a bottle of holy water that she sprays on me because I get so, I have attitudes with people while I'm driving. And you know what? God really does want us to experience a peace that's greater than that. He wants us to experience a peace in the midst of the chaos and the anxiety and the stuff. It's real stuff. But the truth is, it's not about the stuff. It's not about the people that I drive with. It's not about the family that you might have problems with. It might not be about your neighbor. It might not, because the real issue is the problems that we have is with ourselves. The tension that is there, the lack of peace is a byproduct of us. So if you want to experience real peace, you got to make God your priority. Life is not about you. Things are not about you. We want them to be about us. The more we make life about us, the more anxiety that you're going to have. You want to experience personal peace, God has got to be your priority. He's got to be the one that's most important, one you rely upon. Another one is, if you want personal peace, you've got to give control to God. You've got to allow Him to be in control. There's going to be things, most things in our lives, we think we have control, we don't. When things don't go the way that we planned or the way that we want, we have to know that God is involved and God is in charge, and we don't have to worry about it. We really don't. God is working. It may not be the way that we want. It may not be the way that we desire. But here's the real issue is, when we give control to God, He replaces that with peace in our lives. And the last one is this. If you want this personal peace, you've got to accept His gift to you. You've got to accept His, and this gift is His Son that has come into this world to be the Prince of Peace in your life. That's what Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and He will be called Prince of Peace." He will be the one that creates peace in your life. I'd like you to close your eyes, if you would, with me. And I just want to pray for us, for you. If you don't have a relationship with God, I know you don't have, there's no source of peace in your life. But I can tell you this. If you're here today, you don't have that relationship, all you have to do is say, "God, I want this relationship. I want you to be the center of my life. I want to make you my priority, and I want to give you control. And I'm not going to do it perfectly, and I'm going to make mistakes, but I want my life to be about you and not about me. I don't want to be in charge. I want God, I want to live for your purpose, not my purpose. So God, I give you me in all of my imperfections, in all of my flaws." And God says, "That is exactly what I want, is you." Because it's when we give ourselves to Him that He can then make us into what He wants us to be. And maybe you're here today and you need to surrender yourself on a daily basis. Not my will, but your will be done. I'll be saying that a lot as I drive to LA. You might be saying that a lot with your family, but we say it a lot. Father, you see each one of our hearts, you see each one of our lives, you know right where we're at and where each one of us are. Some of us, Father, have peace with you, but we've not learned to surrender our lives, and so we don't actually give peace to others. We don't live as peacemakers. Father, some of us have peace with you, but we've not learned to forgive ourselves, and yet you want us to have internal peace. Father, may we experience all of this peace that we need this season for every person that's here. Father, may we surrender to your working of producing peace in our lives, that we might have relationship with the Prince of Peace, your Son, and He would fill our hearts. Help us today to not miss your Son, our Christ, this Christmas. In Jesus' name.